The word of God given to us today is Luke chapter 4, verses 38 to 41. Please turn to page 95 of the New Testament. It's Luke chapter 4, verses 38 to 41. Allow me to read the words of God. Jesus left the synagogue and went to the home of Simon. Now, Simon's mother-in-law was suffering from a high fever, and they asked Jesus to help her. So he bent over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. She got up at once and began to wait on them. At sunset, the people brought to Jesus all who had various kinds of sickness, and laying his hands on each one, he healed them. Moreover, demons came out of many people shouting, "You are the Son of God." But he rebuked them and would not allow them to speak because they knew he was the Messiah. Amen. The Lord left the synagogue and went to the home of Simon with Jacob and John on the Sabbath day. And Simon's mother-in-law was suffering from a high fever. This, of course, tells us that Simon was a married man with a family to take care of. And it makes us wonder why his mother-in-law was in the sick bed. In her perspective, she would have had somewhat expectations for her son-in-law as a mother of a daughter who'd want for the best of her daughter. But this son-in-law who used to catch fish on the Sea of Galilee just quit fishing, started following this man called Jesus around, almost deserting his own family that he needed to take care of. And this must have made her very upset. In this sense, it's not so hard to empathize with Simon's mother-in-law that she must have suffered so much from the hatred and anger she felt towards Simon and Jesus. It doesn't say exactly what sort of sickness she was suffering from, but unlike the book of Matthew and Mark, where it was just written as a fever, Luke, who used to be a doctor, wrote it down as high fever, which we can assume he may have thought it was some type of endemic disease that occurred to many people around the humid Sea of Galilee area, which comes with high fever of almost 40 degrees, in a state where the patient can hardly move properly. The phrase "suffering from a high fever," which is a medical phrase in Greek, does not say specifically if this was an emotional sickness derived from anger or if the sickness was from being possessed by a demon and such. So it's hard to say what sort of disease it was. But the important part is that the Lord helped this mother-in-law to recover from the high fever. Matthew, Mark, and Luke all deal about this story in their books, but Luke's version of the story is in which the procedure of how the Lord cures Simon's mother-in-law is slightly different. Matthew and Mark wrote that Jesus held the patient's hands and helped her on her feet, and the fever left, emphasizing the compassionate, kind-hearted, and humane image of Christ Jesus. While Luke's version does not mention any physical contact, but only shows how the Lord rebuked the fever. This sort of aspect shows that Luke, although a doctor, wanted to show the almighty attribute of God that tells us that the Lord controls diseases that suppress the human races for a long time with the power of God who has created heaven and earth with his word, with words. By omitting the medical treatment story and telling us that Jesus helped Simon's mother-in-law recover from the fever with just a single word. Now there's one thing we should all think about while picturing today's passage in our heads. The Lord came out of the synagogue and went to Simon's place and healed his mother-in-law, even though it was on a Sabbath day. Our interests are in the kind of sickness what kind of sickness was Simon's mother-in-law suffering from. But in fact, we should be having interest in what the Lord is trying to do through the sickness, not in what type of disease the sickness was. When I looked what miracle was in the dictionary, it said that miracle is an event that transcends the natural law or our knowledge on those laws that are known in the material world, or an extraordinary, destructive, and abnormal event that occur according to the ways of heaven. Or it is described as something that happens due to secondary cause and effect, but cannot be described in human ways, or things that happen because of God's providence to prove God's message that he sends through his angels or messengers. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, two different words are used to indicate miracle in these three synoptic gospels. One was a Greek word teras, which is translated as miracle or news. It also means to be surprised. The other is dunamis, which is translated as power. What this word means is that the ultimate cause of the power lies in God. The miracle inside the Bible are events that occur before us, transcending the knowledge and experience of the humans. Because God came to us because he has a purpose. Those events did not happen by accident, but they occurred because there were purposes for them. Miracles are the revelatory events and words from God towards humans. God talks to us in many different ways. In particular, if we look into how Jesus talks, God's first method is to talk with proverbs. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. This is just pure gem. As such, God teaches us many things through proverb-like expressions. Second, God tells us a story through historic events. Did you not see it during the Exodus? Think about why they had to go through all the troubles for 40 years when it was just a few days' walk. Abram gave Isaac as a burnt offering at the Mount of Moriah. Think about why he was able to do so. Let us think about Abraham and Isaac's faith. All historical events are lessons that are carved into us to the bone. As such, God explains using historical events in Israel and makes us realize and understand through those events. Third, he talks through sermons. Jesus also talked through sermons. When we learn about blessings in the second session of Mature Believers class, we learn that Jesus' ever first systematic sermon, the Sermon on the Mount, which was about the Beatitudes, this was one example. He detects that the primary concerns of humans are and declares what true blessings are. What an amazing sermon. Fourth, he talks through parables. The parable of the sower, of the good Samaritan, of the weeds, and of the hidden treasure. There are about 37 parables. That's around one-third of Jesus' entire teachings. Fifth, God talks through Jesus' life and actions as they are. His coming, going, meeting, and healing a man who had been sick for 38 years. Meeting and saving a woman who was caught for adultery. Silently going for a prayer at dawn. Sometimes praying up all night. All of these are touching as they are, and every move and step, even the smallest ones, are all his teachings and words. Lastly, in particular, God talks through miracles. He healed a man possessed by demons, healed a man with leprosy, healed a paralyzed man, healed all sorts of patients, calmed down the sea, and today, he healed Simon's mother-in-law who was suffering from a high fever. Miracles are the words themselves. Miracles are God's words that appeared in the form of specific events. They are the words that you can see and touch. Miracles themselves are not the purposes, but the purposes lie in the words that God tries to deliver to us through the miracles. When God shows them to us, we need to be able to realize the instructive message inside the miracles. This is why miracles are revelations and the words themselves. God makes humans humble through miracles. People cannot help but to become humble before those amazing miracles. Our Lord approached to Simon, who was disappointed he couldn't catch a single fish all night long, and told him to put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch. To Simon, who had lived as a fisherman on the Sea of Galilee all his life, it seemed absurd, but he still obeyed. And then he caught so many fish that their nets began to break. Peter, or Simon, had no choice but to fall on his knees before the miracle. He had no other choice but to desert everything and follow the Lord. He learned that he could do nothing but to humbly fall on his knees before such great power. Through miracles, God makes those who are arrogant humble, and those who are stubborn meek. As we can see through this, miracles are the very words given to us, the power of the Lord in the form of an event. Miracle is not something that can be discussed logically or with an understanding. How would we confront the almighty power of God with our human knowledge? Only faith can answer this. The day that Jesus helped Simon's mother-in-law recover from a high fever was a day of Sabbath. Jesus left the synagogue and went to the home of Simon. On the day of Sabbath, the Lord preached about God's words and healed a man who was possessed by a demon. And then he came out of the synagogue and went to Simon's home. The fact that the Lord came out of the synagogue shows that he had been preaching there. We oftentimes ask, how can we spend Sundays in a very divine way? There are so many problems, concerns, and much to say if we are to spend Sundays in a divine way. It's so tiring, and so we start dozing off during the worship service because we work really hard until very late on Saturday night in order to keep Sundays divinely. Coming back home after a drowsy worship service, there's nothing else to do, so now you take a nap. There is a wedding on Sunday, or if you're a storekeeper, do you need to open your store on Sundays? This is the type of problems the Lord was trying to talk about in this passage.
결혼식이 있으면 일찍 가서 찾아보고 인사를 하든지 또 나중에 가서 인사를 하든지
At a wedding, if you have a wedding to attend, visit them early and pay your respect dutifully.
시간 맞춰서 늦지 않게 교회에 오려면 화장은 두 시간 정도는 해야 되니까
You should also go to bed slightly earlier than usual on Saturday night so that you won't be too tired the next day. You will need to wake up early and rush yourself in order to get to church on time because it takes almost 2 hours to make up yourself. There are other things you need to prepare for Divine Sunday. Jesus kept Sundays in a very specific way. In a way, these were the kind of problems that made Jesus come into conflict with the Pharisees all the time. Jesus came out of the synagogue and visited his disciples' home. And then he helped Simon's mother-in-law to recover from a high fever. Such actions of the Lord tells us that we need to spend Sundays by doing such blessed things. Everyone kept the Sabbath day according to the rules and regulations, and the Lord went to seek for the man, wondering who might be the most lonely and needing love in Jerusalem. And there, at the pool of Bethesda, was a sick man who had been lying there invalid for 38 years. He had no family and no one around to take care of him. He was deserted. He wanted to get inside the pool when the water was stirred and pray. But no one was there to help him inside to the pool. Jesus sought for and went to meet this lonely, desperate man. He kept the Sabbath very preciously. He set a good example and showed us in action how our Sundays should be spent. To go meet with district members or service team members or families who live nearby from time to time. To have a cup of coffee, go for voluntary works, or if a district member is hospitalized, go see the member to console him or her. Go see and talk to a neighbor whom you need to meet up with. That is what we should be doing on Sundays. Such beautiful fellowship isn't like what it used to be anymore. Every long holidays, the highway is packed as if everyone in the country is leaving for somewhere, and the airport is in such a hustle and bustle. We don't even know that our next door neighbor is dead. We don't even realize it for months, even with the foul, rotting smell. The way Jesus preached inside the synagogue and then went to his disciples' home to spend a worthy Sunday is the reflection of the Lord's words in action. The next thing we can learn from this passage is that Simon did not beg impatiently for Jesus to heal his mother-in-law's sickness. Simon was a very rough and impetuous person. The usual Simon should have begged Jesus to heal her right away when he brought Jesus to his home. But all three synoptic gospels show that Simon did not take Jesus home to beg for him to heal his mother-in-law, but it was just for a genuine invite. But if we look into verse 38, it says, And they asked Jesus to help her. The people who gathered upon the news that Jesus came talked of Simon's mother-in-law and asked for help instead of Simon. And then Jesus heals the mother-in-law. I feel that he already knew about this and came to heal her. Simon did not pray that his mother-in-law be healed, but his prayer was answered anyway. Let us look into chapter 4, verse 39. So he bent over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. Let us look into this more deeply. In Matthew and Mark and Luke, they all wrote about this incident, but Luke wrote a slightly different version in regards to the procedure of Jesus healing Simon's mother-in-law. Matthew and Mark wrote that Jesus took her hand and helped her up, and the fever left her, and emphasized the warm-hearted image of Jesus. On the other hand, Luke does not mention anything about physical contact, and writes about the fact that he rebuked the fever. Luke omitted the active medical treatment and described how the Lord healed the patient with just a single word, to emphasize the authority and the power of the words of the Lord. Jesus showed that he controlled the disease that have long oppressed the human race with the power of God who created heaven and earth with a single word. And it left her. This personifies the sickness. It wasn't like people got sick. It wasn't like the person got sick, but the person was held by sickness, like a captive. In other words, a person became enslaved to this sickness. Humans essentially want to stay free, do and act however they want to, but this person was unwillingly caught by sickness. To free people from such things is what Jesus does. It shows us that the power to free people from diseases is in the hands of our Lord. Now, we see the fever patient sick in bed suddenly getting up, entirely healed, and waiting on them. When a family member falls sick, everything revolves around that patient. Everyone in Simon's family had been tied down by the patient until the Lord healed her and did away with the fever, and so did away with their worries. And so the Lord became the problem solver. All of the problems were resolved through Jesus. He said to Simon, "Follow me." But Simon's departure also creates a problem for his family. We see here a valuable lesson where the Lord is telling us that if we meet even the slightest difficulty, he will solve it for us. As soon as Simon's mother-in-law recovered her health, the Bible says she waited on them. She got up immediately and with a heart full of thanks, waited on Jesus and his followers. We see here that God has given us health as a gift so that we may always work to serve others. In this era of longevity, people live up to 100 years old. So once you retire, you have no choice but to live up to 100 years old. So during those days, do we not have to spend our times valuably, like the Lord did? We need to be able to find what valuable works we can do. In verses 40 to 41, at sunset, many sick people who had heard about the Lord came seeking for him. On a Sabbath evening, exhausted from spending the entire day ministering to people, Jesus still laid his hand on them and healed them. His works were unconditional, and he did not put any patients above another. Instead, he put all his strength and effort into healing his patients. The people who came to him believed that if someone else had been healed, the healer would cure them too. They believed that if someone else's problem had been solved, their problems would be solved too. This is what faith is about. And this is the correct answer to the Word of God revealed to us through miracles. It is to believe in and act within God's words. We live in a time in which so many people are experiencing difficulties. We live in the midst of problems of faith, of financial difficulties, of personal relationships. We are suffering from fever and pain brought on by problems we cannot help to solve. Even inside the church, large and small congregations alike are grappling with problems big and small. Through the words of God, through His footsteps, through His miracles, through the words we can see the Lord has revealed this to us. The Lord showed us how He visited the house of Simon and resolved his family's difficulties. He personally showed us, through His own ministry, how a Christian who loves the church and the Lord should spend a divine Sabbath. Christians enter heaven through faith in Jesus, the Lord and Christ. The essence of the kingdom of God is obedience to the teaching and the rule of Jesus Christ, the King. So to enter heaven is to be ruled by Jesus and to follow His teachings. When that happens, we will experience true peace. Brothers and sisters, do you love the church, the body of Christ? Let us seek to follow the image of Jesus and keep the Sabbath holy, and each perform one act of service. Just like Jesus let us love and care for our neighbors who are in difficulty, just like we love and care for ourselves. By doing so, we will each come to experience the miracle of our faith growing greatly. Let us not seek what we do not have, but look for what we can do with what we have been given and carry it out, so that through our efforts, our neighbors and our church may benefit and the gospel may spread. And as we have confessed, we will come to experience the miracle of the kingdom of God on this earth. Let us pray. Father God, Your word has come to this earth in flesh and shown us and called us and taught and led us. So we give thanks to You. We thank You for letting us learn the truth of how to spend the holy and blessed Sabbath through Your image. Let us be disciples who keep in their hearts and carry out the Word of God, personally shown to us through the life of Jesus Christ. And like Simon, let us experience the grace of receiving even what we did not seek for. And when we follow the words, show us the miracle of being protected and led by the arm of God, which is never too short, so that we may live blessed lives as children of God. So let each of us and our families and our church revive and see the miracle. We pray in Jesus' name, Amen.